Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and we were on with Dorothy, who was trying to receive some sort of file from somebody, and nobody can open the file. You there? Still there, Dorothy?
I am.
So when you added that little bit of information, it changed the whole thing, because if all of your devices can't open this file,
right,
it's not you, it's them. Whoever is sending the file needs to include better instruction as to how to open it, because however they're encoding it, however they're producing it, is in a format you cannot read. And our theory is, as we were talking off air, is that they switched to an OpenOffice or some free
Linux-based.
Yeah, editor, document editor system, which we don't begrudge them. It's great. Fine with us. But they need to tell you guys what you need to do to open the file. If it's all of your devices, it's the person sending's problem, not yours, if you can't read it.
Okay. The other thing is everyone doesn't have this problem. There are some other people in the group.
Sure.
But when someone, last month what I did is I asked one of my friends if she would forward the attachments she received, and I received them fine. So she received them.
Yeah.
And then when she sent them to me, I received them. So.
Well, that's interesting.
That was very strange.
That is very strange. But could your husband open the file or
yes.
No?
Once she resent it.
Oh, it's almost like
another person sent what they had received.
Yeah.
Then we were both able to open them.
I wonder if when that person opened the file, she then resaved it or something in a format that was more current. Because if the file format didn't change, you shouldn't have been able to receive it. So that person that forwarded it to you changed the file format, I suspect.
Okay.
It is not you, it's them. It's whoever's sending that file needs to do a better job of explaining what format they're using. because they're obviously it's not a good choice. Whatever change they made affected everybody.
Yeah.
So
we have OpenDNS, and I didn't know if that was
nope,
the problem.
Nope. OpenDNS is just a nice. Just think of OpenDNS as a highway that's maintained perfectly with no potholes, nice and smooth. There's no problem. It has nothing to do with anything else other than it's a nice place. There's no off ramps to the bad areas of the internet. That's all OpenDNS is. All right.
Okay.
It doesn't do anything to anything else. Okay.
I'll check out with her. But
yeah.
The other question I had was about the cloud. I didn't realize I was even using the cloud until they said my space was almost over.
In your email?
Yeah.
Right.
So I wasn't even sure, but I checked and it is almost over. And if I shut everything off of the cloud, will that affect anything to do with streaming or anything?
Well, streaming is from the cloud. When you stream something, it's from Netflix or from anywhere else that's coming from the cloud.
So if I shut off the drive, then I won't be able to use that.
If you're streaming from that drive, you will not.
Okay.
So you either have to decide to pay for whatever you're using or change your approach.
Or delete stuff,
yeah.
Yeah, I deleted a lot of photos. It didn't make a big difference.
No, a lot of times they just they kind of do a bait and switch on you. They try to get you into the cloud, and then they hit you once you put your stuff up there.
Ah. I didn't want anything up there, actually.
Yeah. No, probably backed up there on, what kind of cloud is it, Dorothy? What are you talking about?
It's just the iCloud.
Yeah. So they're backing up your phone to save it from itself, so that if you ever lost your phone, your pictures are backed up. But they're going to only do it for free up to a certain point, and then they want you to pay them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help. We sure love your show.
Well, thanks for listening. Our pleasure.
Okay. Right. Stay warm.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's move on to Larry in my hometown of Southington. What's going on, Larry?
How are you doing?
Doing fine.
Really good. I wasn't listening, or I didn't write down a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about the best free antivirus malware program.
The best free one? The best free one to start with is to not get malware in the first place, and by doing that, you use the free OpenDNS service.
Okay.
So start there. Make sure you've got that implemented in your computer. It's free, and the instructions are fairly simple. And then if you do get hit with malware, to remediate it, we do recommend Malwarebytes as a remediation tool. You can download it for free. Yep. And then if you want to pay for quality antivirus software, we do recommend Webroot.
Okay. I thought you had recommended something other. I happen to see this thing that was on there recommended, Total AV3.
Never heard of that, and we wouldn't have recommended that.
Okay. No, I know that wasn't it, but I just did run across that and I thought something about it. Now, is OpenDNS, does that affect my Firefox?
No, well, only in a positive way. It's a much faster way to browse the internet. It's a fast DNS service and a clean one, much more safe than if you use the cable provider or your internet provider's DNS services.
I see.
So
I'm using Cox.
Right. So Cox has got more of a wide open DNS. If you implement open DNS, you'll now be on a much safer internet connection. You're still using their connection. I have a hardest time trying to give you a good analogy, but it's a nice, clean, safe internet highway that you can even secure further with your if you have kids in the house and you want to block porn, you want to block the things you'd want to block on an internet service, you can use OpenDNS to do that. So anybody who comes into your network, whether smartphones, their iPads, or whatever, they will have to succumb to your internet rules. And also, they'll benefit from your internet service because it'll be much safer than if you just ran naked on the internet without this tool in place.
Okay, so if I put in OpenDNS,
yes, sir,
that doesn't affect anything else that's currently working on my computer.
Correct. It's just a safer way to surf, and it doesn't do anything other than keep you in a safer place. You'll greatly reduce your chances of getting malware.
Okay, and I uninstall the Microsoft, Defender?
Yeah, and you can buy Webroot, yep.
Okay.
The Defender is equivalent to Webroot. Defender is an antivirus
tool. You don't uninstall Defender, you just disable it because it's integrated into the OS.
Yeah, built in.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome, Larry.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So, yeah, I know I would probably say this over and over and over and over again, but when you're on the internet, you need a better way to surf. And using OpenDNS, it's free. And yes, you're the commodity, but in this case, there's nothing that they're gaining from it other than hoping you use it for their business.
That Total AV he brought up,
yeah,
that's has a list price of $99.95 for one license.
Yikes, and we've never heard of it.
And it's more expensive than dozens of other ones, including Zonalon, ESET, not 32, which goes for under 40 bucks each.
Right, and we recommend Webroot.
Webroot.
And for our clients, that's $2 a month. It costs them 24 bucks a year a seat. So never heard of this other thing. I wouldn't recommend using it. We're very, very happy to recommend Webroot. We're going to step out for a quick break. We have two lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. Marguerite and Don, hang on. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Marguerite in Farmington first. Hey, Marguerite, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have my computer open here,
mm-hmm.
and I can't do a thing with it.
Mm.
I'm trying to get on my email. I pressed the little blue E button, and nothing happened. I press the window in the corner and nothing happens.
Okay.
And yesterday, I didn't even have the icons on the bottom.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Have you rebooted your machine, I assume?
Yes, I shut it. It was shut off all last night.
So you brought it up this morning, and this is what it's presenting to you?
Yeah, at least this morning, I have the icons on the bottom.
But nothing's working. It's completely frozen.
Yes.
Or can you move your mouse at least?
I can move the mouse,
but that's it. All right.
Yeah.
And
when I first tried the E button, it did come up.
Yeah.
The internet came up, and I typed in yahoo.com, and then zero. Nothing happened, and now I don't even have that.
Okay, so you're in a world of hurt right now.
Pressing an E, is this an E machine?
Not pressing an E, a little E in the bottom corner, the Internet Explorer with a little halo over it. I'm thinking, Margaret, your machine is quitting on you. How old is it?
Oh, my God, it's only 3, 4, 5 years old, and I hardly use it.
3, 4, 5? 6, 7, 8?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably
well,
5.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I rarely use it. It's a laptop.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's not the mileage where it comes. It is the age. What happens is eventually something hits it, or something causes, or something breaks. 5-year-old systems have, a tendency. I would recommend that you bring it to somebody to look at it if you feel it's young enough or worth repairing. But to me, I think you've got some sort of failure. A hard drive failure is occurring. You've got a RAM failure. It's not overheating because you hardly use it. But you should bring it to somebody to take a peek at it. But do not spend too much money on it if it's in that 5-year range as a laptop. Is that what you said it was?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you get 3 years out of a laptop, you should be happy.
Really?
Yep. 6 years out of a computer, 3 years out of a laptop is what our recommendations are. Beyond that, it's gravy.
Okay. So I guess better go shopping.
Well, don't go shopping yet. You can bring it to Staples. They've got a desk there. You can have them take a quick peek at it for you and see if they concur that there's something failing on it.
They'll pay too much, what would you say, like $50 or something?
$50 for a diagnosis of some kind
on
that age of a machine. Because if it's 5 years old, you're definitely due for a new laptop if it's that old.
So if they come back and say, it's like $150 or $200 to repair, mm-hmm. you could just put that into the cost of a new one.
Right.
Of a new, yes.
Rather than spend good money after bad.
Right. But that does sound like a hardware failure to me, Marguerite.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry for the bad news.
Me too.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's kind of a problem. When it comes to you have to weigh the value of the repair of the aged machine.
Just like a car.
Funny you should say that. I got a bunch of boys in college, and we got some junker cars for them to go from point A to point B. I got a price to repair a muffler on one of my son's cars, which is about 9 years old. We just want it to last 2 more years. $1,700 is what they wanted to.
They want to replace the entire
exhaust
system?
Yeah, the whole shooting match. But I found this amazing repair shop, $450. He cut the rusty flanges off, welded on the correct ones. He's like, Eric, you're good to go. And he was right. He saved me $1,300. That's good service.
Well, see, but you got to shop around. You can't take the first place you go to.
Right. And see, for me, repairing a car is like for you guys repairing a computer. I know nothing. You wouldn't want me to change the oil in the car. It wouldn't work anymore. Heck, changing a tire is risky. Who knows how I'll put the wheel on. It will be wobblier. I'm not that handy. So to find this repair shop is like gold. And they saved me a lot of money. And it works beautifully. So same thing with laptops or PCs. You don't want to spend too much money on them. Let's go on, if they're that old, let's go on to Donald in New Hartford next. Donald, what's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, okay. I have a problem with devices connecting to the internet through the Wi-Fi router.
All right.
Okay, so what happens is I have kids, too, and they're trying to connect and do their homework, and they come screaming down the stairs, it's not connected.
Ugh, isn't that fun?
Oh, it's a blast.
How old's your router?
It's probably like 3 years old. It's a Netgear 6400.
Okay,
so it's not too bad. It didn't work up until like 2 weeks ago when all these things started happening.
Yeah.
So then I do the login to the router, and sure enough, it's showing a certain amount of devices connected.
Yep.
So I go back, and the phones weren't connecting. It was sporadic. So okay. I go into the phone IP address. It's giving me an IP address of 175 for some reason.
That's not good. Are you out of IP addresses?
That's public.
So that looks, and it's nowhere close to what the router's IP address is, of course.
Your DHCP service on that router has gone kaflooey on you. Have you rebooted the router?
Oh, many times.
Okay.
So then when I go into the device and I switch it over to static and type in 192.168, it can...
Oop, you there, Don?
Yes, I'm still here.
You left for a second. So it connects when you do that?
It connects when I put it to static.
So your DHCP service is definitely not working.
What I would do is go in, when you go log into your router, go up to the maintenance thing, and theoretically, you should be able to check and see if you have a firmware update available for it.
Good idea.
Oh, yes, I updated the firmware, too.
Okay. You did?
So you
didn't
see?
Right, and then I have a wired Epson printer.
Yeah.
Which wasn't showing up on here, too.
Because it's not getting an IP address. That's correct.
But so it's wired directly into the Wi-Fi.
Doesn't matter. The same device is giving out the IP address.
Oh, the same Wi-Fi router is?
Yep.
Okay.
That's
and now,
your traffic
of course, everything's connected, right?
Oh, right now it works?
Oh, yeah. Of course it works now that I'm on the phone. I mean, it worked probably yesterday is when everything started to connect.
I think your DNS server within that router is not working so well.
So you think it's the router and not the modem?
The modem has nothing to do with it. Your modem is in front of the router, just giving you internet service. Your router is handing out
IP addresses.
IP addresses. Are you sure there's no other device in your network that your kids brought over handing out IP addresses?
Well, you know what I thought it might have been is an iPod or iPad hotspot that was doing something.
Yep, that could do it.
Really?
Yeah, okay, because it's going to hand out. It'll hand out IP addresses.
Okay, because I was I'm in bed going to sleep, and I wake up. I go, you know what? It might be a hotspot thing.
Yeah.
So I up the stairs. You know, Michelle, can your iPad do a hotspot? Yes. Okay. Well, turn it off.
Yeah, that could
so
be.
That
it.
Would do it.
Anything else handing out IP addresses could be in you know kind of banging into the other device handing out IP addresses. Now that could do it. I think also though that your DHCP server is failing in that router, and you may need to replace it if you already did the things that we recommended by updating the firmware.
Yes, I did update
it.
Yeah.
The DNS settings under your DHCP or on your router, are they like 208.67.222.222? And 208.67.220.220.
Yeah, he's.
Now, how would I?
When you're in there,
when you're logged in, and you look around, and it'll say DNS 1, DNS 2, possibly DNS 3.
He wants you to be on Open DNS.
Correct. Yes, and let's get away from whether you have Comcast or Frontier or whoever.
Right. But that wouldn't relate necessarily to your problem.
Yeah, it looks like it's not getting the right IP addresses when they log into the router.
At all, right.
It's just not recognizing it, and then I don't see it.
Right.
And if you turn off the device and turn it back on, it's going to look for another IP address being sent to it, and it's not getting it.
Well, you're getting internet, obviously. Can you surf from the router when you go to the main utilities tool? Can you go ahead and do a search, a surf? Can you test your connection?
Oh, when I go into the connections, it looks like it tests fine.
Okay, so you're getting to the internet.
The rogue DHCP server is my
something else.
Analysis.
Like something else is handing out IPs is what he's telling you, or you've got a problem with that router.
Okay, because even the Roku said, yes, I'm connected to the router, but no, I'm not connected to the internet.
Because it's not giving you a routable IP.
Right.
It's giving you
And
that.
Then I go upstairs and I plug in the Fire Stick that's on the same TV.
Yeah.
I come downstairs, now it sees the Roku. Now it sees both.
You got some other DHCP services happening within your home, or your router needs to be replaced.
Okay, so the easiest fix would be the router.
It would be, yes, if that's the problem. If you still have a rogue in there, it's not going to solve it.
Yeah, if you put in a new router and you have
exactly.
the same problem, you still
so
got a rogue.
The software, the firmware is updated, everything's updated. Right now it's seeing everything.
Yeah.
But... who knows? If it doesn't in the future, more than likely it would be the router.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because I was thinking maybe the modem's old, but
the modem's
not
in
really
front
matter.
Of it. No, modem doesn't care. Modem's in front of it. As long as you're not getting Wi-Fi from the modem too. Like some of these cable providers throw Wi-Fi on their modem.
Oh no, this one isn't that.
Okay.
It's an older modem. It doesn't have any antennas or anything.
Okay. So yeah, I think it's your router.
Okay.
All right, Don?
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know what happens.
Okay.
Bye. All right, bye. All right. Let's quickly go on to, before we have a break here, Norma in Ellington. Hey, Norma.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm all right. I have a couple questions.
All right. We have a hard break coming up in a couple minutes, so go ahead and ask your questions.
My husband is a techie guy. Well, sort of, and I'm not at all.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he put OpenDNS on my Windows 7 machine.
Nice.
And when I go on to the internet, it still says Google. Is that all right? Or
that's all right. Yeah,
right.
I trust your husband. If you want to know if it actually is, if you want to know if it's actually on there, you want to surf over to, is it internetbadguys.com or theinternetbadguys.com? I never know off the top of my head. Hang on.
Okay, good. I could try both.
Well, I don't want you to go to a bad site. Actually, we did actually link it last week on Computer Talk with Tab. So if you go over to our site at Computer Talk with Tab.
We can't go there.
Oh, we can't even test it, right, because there's probably a filter here at WTIC.
Oh, it's a tab filter.
Well, my husband can go there on his Linux, can't he?
Yeah. So go over to computertalkwithtab.com and go look at the notes there. It'll talk about how you test to see if OpenDNS is in play.
Okay.
All right. It's actually internetbadguys.com. And if it is, you'll get a block from OpenDNS saying you can't go there, it's not safe, and you're going to say, like, hey, honey, you did it right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, the other question I have, we got a bug. We took it to Kaplan. I don't know if I can say that.
Whatever. Yeah. And what'd they do? They fix it?
They fixed it. And then, but they also took...
We have a hard break, Norma. Let me pick you up after the news, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang on one sec. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. They're all jammed up right now, but when the line frees up, feel free to hop on. We'll go back to Norma quickly in Ellington. So, Norma, you had something done to your system, and what happened?
Well, they took the bad things. I clicked on some email and got a virus.
Yeah.
So they took that off.
Yep.
But they also took off Microsoft Security Essentials.
Okay, and did they sell you something?
They put Avast on, just the free Avast.
Yeah. So that's a start. They're trying. Go ahead.
What should we have?
I like Webroot. This free stuff is not good enough anymore.
What is it that you're saying?
Web, WEBROOT, Webroot.
Okay.
And, It's a better antivirus. We use it across our client base with great success. And you've already got OpenDNS on your system, which is step one. Step two is a better antivirus product. And then step three is something you really can't get yourself, which is security awareness training. We unfortunately can't do that for you, but we do offer it for our clients in that you need to be kind of trained on what you can and cannot click on when it comes to email, because that's what got you into trouble, right?
Right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that security awareness training is not not that cheap. And the rule of thumb that I tell you, though, Norma, is to not trust anything, period, coming in your email ever. Ever. I don't care if it came from me. Don't open it. Don't trust it. Email is not a trustworthy method of opening any attachments whatsoever, period, from anybody you trust, whether it be Amazon, Apple, FedEx, UPS, telling you something's coming in your mail. Don't trust it. It is a trick, most likely. You need to use closed-loop systems by using the apps that come along with those services so that the app that comes from UPS or FedEx or Amazon, if you're going to get a package delivered, shows you that the package was delivered rather than having somebody send you an email saying a package was delivered. Click here for more information or your order has come. And you're like, I didn't order anything. What the heck are they trying to do? They're just trying to get you to click on it.
Right. Well, when we get things like that, I have my husband open them.
Oh, okay. You make him take the fall.
Well, he's running Linux.
Oh, yeah. He thinks he's immune, huh?
Well, yeah.
He's not, but don't do it. He shouldn't open them either. And they're all tricks. You can't trust any of it. You need to browse to the site or realize that it's a trick. And that's hard to do, I know, but without proper training. But that's the last step to this. You've got open DNS. Right. You've got good antivirus. Last step is training.
Now, where do we get WebRoot?
Just go to www.webroot.com, and you can buy it online.
Okay, so we do have to pay for it.
Sadly, you do. But in this day and age, it is the year of 2019. Free antivirus has been around since Crazy John McAfee. It's time to finally pay for it to protect yourself. Otherwise, the alternative is paying an IT guy like us to try to get your data back. And if you have got thousands of dollars to give it to us, we'll take it. But it's a lot cheaper than $2 a month.
I'm sure he'll take it. I would take it, too.
Yeah.
Something that on my computer, every time I log in, it says, you know, it's got a, this file does not have a program associated with it.
Right.
For performing this action, please install a program, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I always just click the X because I don't know what it is.
Oh, so something happens automatically? It comes up automatically? It's a pop-up that comes up automatically, Norma, or are you clicking on something?
No, somehow it got into the computer.
Yeah, it's a startup issue. Something's trying to run something automatically, and the file, the ability to run it's not there, thankfully. But it's something that's still in your startup causing that. Did the company you brought your computer to look at that or no?
No, I didn't have them look at this because it doesn't seem to affect anything.
Okay, something's trying to run, and that's a bad thing.
I mean, even if I click OK, one time I clicked OK.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't have the file to run.
Right, it can't run. It's just going to be a nuisance. But part of your startup has something that's trying to run something. And so you have to go to your startup. Now, you said your husband's a geek, right?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
All right, well, have Mr. Linux look at this. If you go to your startup, have him try to figure out what is trying to automatically run and have him remove it from your startup.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll have to
have to be listening, so.
All right.
Hopefully he heard that.
I'm sure he did.
Go to startup and try to remove
what we think is automatically kicking off that is not running.
Okay.
It's a little bit of trial and error there he has to figure out.
Okay.
All right. Ignore it.
Like I said, I'm not a geeky person, but you guys are, and I love you guys.
Thanks, Norma.
I listen all the time.
We appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you for your help.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She's going to move on. Let's move on to Joe in Weathersfield quickly. Hey, Joe, what's up? You there, Joe?
My call.
Yeah, sure.
I want to install OpenDNS on my home network.
Okay.
I have Cox for an internet provider, and I have it hardwired to a Linksys EA9500 for my wireless, and everything in the home is pretty much wireless. I had gone to install OpenDNS, but I'm confused as to where it gets installed.
It does not technically get installed.
Okay.
The word installed is a bad word. It gets configured.
Okay.
So when you're going to configure it, you're going to go to the DNS settings, the DHCP settings of that Linksys router. So you want to go 192.168.1. Whatever your router gateway IP address is through your browser, log in I assume you changed your password. It's not admin in blank, right?
No, it's not.
All right, good. Go over to DHCP services and put in those IP addresses, Bob.
208.67.222.222.
Okay, and cool then. 208.67. Yep.
.222.222. And 208.67.220.220.
You want to put that in the DNS. So you're going to hand out IP addresses, right? You're going to hand out IP addresses to the phones and the computers as 192.168, but you're going to also hand out the DNS addresses of what you just heard from Bob. That is how you configure OpenDNS on your system. Now, to go further, you can register your free account, right, Joe at Weathersfield, whatever, so that you can then add additional configurations to keep people off of porn and all the bad stuff you'd want to keep them off of, if you do, using that tool also for free. You have to set up an account so that OpenDNS knows, hey, where's Joe in Weathersfield and how does he want his system configured? So you then have to put a little IP configurator so that every time your IP changes from Cox, OpenDNS knows that happened so that it can continue to implement your wishes. Do you follow me on that?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So it's okay, all it's great. All configuration. You're not downloading or installing anything except for that configurator, IP configurator device.
Okay. Yeah, just and put it on one of your computers that stays on as much as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
All right, Joe.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Yep. Good luck.
Take care.
Bye. Yep, you too. All right, we're going to step up for a quick break. Joyce, Jack, and Tom, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. Let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Go to Joyce in Manchester first. What's up?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having a problem getting on the internet.
All right.
When I make an attempt, I get a screen that says no internet connection.
All right.
Then I get a list of choices, and I click on Windows Diagnostics.
All right.
When I do that, it runs, it checks, and the only problem that comes up is that there is a cable that is either broken or loose.
Yep.
I have been on my hands and knees, and I have checked every single cable, wire, outlet, you name it.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be plugged in properly.
Welcome to our world.
Okay.
What about the other end? So, Joyce, you checked the end into the computer, right? What about the other end, the end that goes into the wall or the one that goes into your device?
Yes. I've checked all of those, yes.
Okay.
Are you getting a red X on your down in your system tray on the little thing that looks like a computer?
Honestly, I never noticed that.
That's okay. It's a little tiny red X.
Because mm-hmm. If you have a loose cable.
Or a broken cable.
Or mm-hmm. a broken cable, that'll show up with a little red X on it.
Or you've got a bad network card. And that'll just show your network card is not active and you're not on the internet because of that.
Okay. If I have a bad network card, mm-hmm. what do I do?
Well, how old's the machine?
I heard you speaking with a previous caller.
Yeah.
I have a laptop. It's about 5.5 years old.
Okay. So you're hardwired to it. Do you have wireless in the in your house?
Yes.
So you can flip on the wireless service. Is that on?
Yes.
And you're not able to connect with that either?
No.
Ooh. So now you're back to your device that's handing out your internet.
Can you see wireless networks?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when I was on the phone with Frontier at one time, the technician that I spoke with, he was walking me through it because they can't take your computer over remotely. He had me uninstall everything and then reinstall everything.
Yeah.
And that still didn't help.
But you could see other wireless networks in your area?
I think so. I've been around and around with this.
I hear you.
Yes.
Well, the key is if your hardwire, the Cat5 cable is not connected, your network card could be broken. But mm-hmm. if you can see wireless networks, but you can't see yours. Do you know what the Joyce network is? Is it a generic Frontier address or is it Joyce's Wi-Fi?
I think it must be a generic Frontier address. Yeah.
Okay. So if you go down to where your Frontier router is.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere,
yeah.
And you look on the bottom of it. It's going to give you the Frontier SSID,
the network you're supposed to be looking for.
That's okay. The network you're looking for,
okay.
And then it's going to give you their passphrase. You want to write that down, or take your smartphone, take a picture of it, or something, so right. that you have it. And then from your computer, look on the little wireless.
Pizza.
Indicator.
It's like a half a pizza. It's like a pizza slice.
A quarter pizza, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you click on that, you should see that SSID that matches the Frontier one that you have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you click on that, click connect, then it's going to ask you to put in the passphrase, which will be on that little sticker on the bottom of your Frontier
device.
Mm-hmm.
So you enter that in and you click connect. And you should be able to get out to the internet.
Right. Now you're connected wirelessly rather than hardwired. You clearly were connected hardwired before, which was looks like a phone connection, but it's a little fatter than a phone connection. It's called RJ45.
Okay. All right.
So that's obviously not working for whatever reason. Let's try to get you wirelessly. If wirelessly doesn't work, then it could be your internet connection is down. You need to get the Frontier guys on site.
Oh, yeah. That's what I had thought, that maybe they really should come out and take a look at this.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, you know, 3-4 times on the phone with them, and then Microsoft, that technician took my computer over remotely, and he made all kinds of changes, and it just didn't seem to do
How much did that cost you, Joyce?
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute.
No,
if Microsoft was able to get into your computer remotely, you had a network connection to the Internet.
So, Joyce, and how much did that cost you?
Didn't cost me anything because I have a service contract with them.
So wait a minute. You're on the Internet. They connected in remotely for that to work. You are connected.
Right, yeah. But it's, the problem is eventually I can get connected, but I have to continue to go through these steps to get connected.
Wow.
See, that's what it, I can even, as I said, I have a laptop.
Yeah.
I can get on, all right? I can do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I close, you know, I sign off.
Yep.
I close the lid,
yep.
All right? I can come back in an hour, try to get on again. I'll get the same message.
It's like it's not waking up, like the network card's not waking up.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's different. If they're getting on remotely, Joyce, your internet connection's working. Have you done a speed test when you're actually working to see how fast your internet is? Maybe it's just a bad connection.
No, I haven't done that.
Run a speed test. Go to Xfinity speed test if you like, or any other speed test you choose, and go see what you're getting. If you have really bad internet service, it could look like you're not connecting. However, that warning, that little red X warning where the wire is disconnected, is a symptom of a bad network connection.
Mm-hmm.
So your wired connection could be damaged. But for them to get in remotely, it means you're connected. It could also be a DNS problem. If you just change your DNS settings to open DNS's IPs, which we've given out 80 billion times this morning, and choose those DNS settings, you might have better luck as well getting on the Internet rather than using Frontier settings.
Okay. All right.
Don't give them again, Bob.
All right.
The
okay.
link will be out there for you guys to read about how to set those DNS settings up. But I think you could try that too. Or you need to bring your machine to have somebody take a quick peek at it to confirm what's broken on it, if there is anything broken on it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe to just, at this point, to just have someone take a look at it and find out. You
just
know,
take a quick peek.
Right, a quick peek. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Joyce.
All right.
Don't spend too much on it. It's 5 years old.
Yeah, I know. Okay, what's the maximum I should spend?
$50.
$50.
Just
okay.
to tell you if you got a broken connection, and even that's a little bit much, but
yeah,
$50.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much,
all right,
gentlemen.
Joyce. Yep.
Okay. Have a good day.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Because as Henry Ford's consultant always said, it really isn't the issue with the broken thing. It's where he marks the broken X on the conveyor belt to show you where the problem is. That's why it's worth the guy knowing where the X is, not how long it took him to figure it out. All right, let's try to get to another call here quickly. We're going to go to Jack in Glastonbury, I guess. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, I got a quick question for you. I'm doing these backups. I talked to you earlier about it a couple of weeks ago, alternating between hard drives, portable hard drives.
Yeah.
I want to know if I can put more than one full backup on a given hard drive, portable hard drive, or does it, this is Windows 7 backup, or does it throw the oldest full backup away and replace it with the newest one?
Ah, Windows 7 backup. I'm not sure what it'll do if you ask it to do a full backup. I might think it's going to replace whatever's on that media.
Okay.
It might not append to it. It may not give you a second copy. It might just start it fresh because it's old Windows 7.
It depends on what settings you choose.
Yeah. And if you have space.
There should be enough space. The reason for it is like if I wanted to go, I do it every month. So
yeah.
If I wanted to go back, say 3 months to pick up a file that I know wasn't there anymore, you know, and I needed it.
Yeah.
If the full backup would kind of like crush it, you know, it would be gone.
So you could run two different backup jobs. One backup A job that goes to a backup directory A on the hard drive. One backup B job that goes to directory B on the hard drive, and that would force it to work.
Oh, okay.
If you think about running two backup jobs, does that make sense? That way you don't have to worry about the software misappending or wiping it away. You force job A, job B to separate directories. Should do it if you have space.
If I create two folders or directories on those drives, then I can do
and you, it that way. And you tell the target jobs to go to those different targets, A and B, that would work all the time.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give that a shot.
All right, Jack. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, running down to the wire here, trying to get all your calls in. Let's go to Tom in Harmington. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
Hey, real quick follow-up to what you talked about with the antivirus and recommending not going to the freebies and paying for it.
Yeah.
I have Spectrum, and I'm not sure about all the other providers, Comcast, Frontier, Verizon, et cetera.
Yep.
But they do provide a free antivirus. Charter Spectrum is it's F-Secure.
Okay.
So are we is that good enough, or are you saying we should invest in something else?
As long as it's not on your bill, as long as they're not charging you $5 or $6 a month, because these companies are well known to rent you a modem for, in Bob's case, how much a month?
I got a modem and what you call a phone, whatever, it's $60.
Yeah, so you be careful. It's free maybe now, but these guys live off renting something to you for more than it's worth. So if it truly is free, Tom, and it's a commercial antivirus being offered, feel free to use it, right? The moment they start charging you $5, $6, $8 a month for it, run screaming, because you can get it a whole lot cheaper yourself.
So I've been with Charter, and then they were Spectrum. So I've been them for years.
Yeah.
And it started with you get 4 free copies for your devices. Now it's up to 10.
Okay.
And it doesn't show up anywhere in my bill.
All right. And I can't complain with that, man. As long as you're comfortable with what else they're charging you. I mean, they're probably mixing it in there somewhere.
Well, they're making it up somewhere.
Yeah, I'm but sure they're not going to lower. They're not going to lower your bill by having you not use it. So, no harm, no foul there, as long as you don't see a separate charge for it that you're not comfortable with.
All right, cool. Great show, guys.
Thanks, Tom. All right, so yeah, I think using a professional service is probably the best way to go. I don't know that we're going to be able to... Oh, we do. Matt's saying I got time. Scott, go ahead. What's going on with your issues in Manchester?
Hey, just real quick, I was thinking of purchasing one of the Amazon Fire Sticks.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious, for the $40, is that a pretty good investment? I'm pretty sure I can load it myself, too. I've gone on some like YouTube videos, and it doesn't look like it takes a college degree to load it. But
it's fine.
Are they worth it if you spend a lot of time watching TV? And
Yeah. If you're an Amazon Prime user, then you can get Amazon Prime, stream everything through there, rent some movies. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And $35 is about the same price as a Chromecast from Google, and probably similar to other competitors out there. If you're an Amazon customer already, why not?
Yes, I am actually already a customer. So
Yeah, go for it.
All right, I appreciate the information, and I love your show, guys.
All right, thanks, Scott.
All right, thank you.
Yep, good luck. The only thing that I've noticed on my Amazon service is that I go to Prime, and the only thing I do, I don't buy really anything on Amazon. I hate shopping online, because you get it and it's the wrong size, or it doesn't work. I don't know, the picture wasn't exactly right, so I don't buy anything online. But I do rent movies. And you look at the rentals, it's almost like they know I rent movies. They're like, Eric's willing to pay $4 a movie. Maybe he's willing to pay $5. Oh, you know, he likes this kind of movie. Maybe he's willing to pay $6. But if it's Bob, I wonder if it's different for you. I wonder if they're getting into individual pricing for people renting movies. I don't know. I feel like they are. Maybe I'm wrong. I want to thank Matt for producing. I want to thank all you guys for calling in. Mike G, I want to thank you for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. If you want to get to everything we talked about. Also, if you follow us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems, the news might get into your news feed. And if you follow us on Twitter at Tab Computer Systems, to get over there as well. Thanks again.
See you next week.